Wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Oh, Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad is Spanish for Merry Christmas. And I'm trying my best to smear some good Christmas joy around the place. There's a town in South Australia. They're going against that grain. At least the policeman there is. Fining Santa Claus for not wearing a seatbelt on the back of his sleigh on a ute going 10 kilometres an hour. Bah, humbug. What a Christmas Grinch. We talk about ridiculous fines that you've received over the years, whether they were ridiculous or not. Bad first dates. That got a run as well after a story about a woman who was told to wear all black. Just a nice little black dress number. What could it be? It was the man taking her to a funeral. He ran out of a girlfriend, so he brought her and tricked her along the way. Plus, is there a dark side of the moon? No, it's not talking about a Pink Floyd album. No, we're not even talking about a NASA space landing, to be honest. Quickly turned the way of exposing your bare butt cheeks to the public sphere. Usually champion, but there is a dark side to the moon, as we found out. Enjoy the podcast.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad, of course. Feliz this time of year, 10th of December. Spread the Christmas cheer near and far. Feliz Navidad, of course, being Spanish for Merry Christmas. But unfortunately, the Christmas cheer is fallen on a sour note over the weekend. Driver fined for having Father Christmas as an unsecured load after the Morgan Christmas pageant. This is just a small town. Things like this don't happen. This isn't just some big city slicker Christmas pageant going on where hundreds of thousands of people are rocking up. This is just a small local thing organised by the local Lions Club. Need I say, short of funding already. And at the end of the Christmas pageant, the Father Christmas and the driver in the front of the ute was fined. Have a listen to this.
Driver in South Australia has been fined $300 after participating in a community Christmas pageant. Police issued the ticket because Santa was an unsecured load in a decorated trailer, which was taking the jolly man away after the street parade.
Well, the jolly man wouldn't be so jolly after that. Not at all. President of the local chapter at the Lions Club, Ernie Asplin, said the incident had cast a shadow over an otherwise successful event. Well, I bet it has. I bet that was probably front page news the next day. How's the pageant? Yeah, pretty good, actually. Fortunately, Santa and his the ute driver managed to get fined $301 and 3 demerit points. I'm not happy about that. A South Australian police spokesman said the fine was handed down because police were alerted to a car towing a trailer on 8th Street. You know, very slow. Very slow setup going on. No more than 10 k's an hour. You may say it's a ridiculous fine.
What? Ridiculous fine. What was your ridiculous fine?
13, 10, 60. What was your ridiculous fine? I don't know how much more ridiculous they can get than a ute towing Santa Claus on the back of his tray. 10 k's an hour at a Christmas pageant. There's some blue hero at the end of the street going, got him. Got him. I mean, that's the thing with fines. Sometimes you can... Good cops, they'll turn like a... They'll come and have a word about... sorry, mate, you know. God, I know it sounds crazy, but you're going to have to put a seatbelt on Santa there. You're going way, way too... sort of slowing under the speed limit to not secure Santa on the back of it. People run into ridiculous fines all the time. Producer Jack is actually opening... taking phones at the moment. You were done the other day for a parking fine, weren't you, Producer Jack? You weren't happy about that.
I was, and so I got done $260 for parking in a non-stopping zone, but my car was still inside the allowed parking area, but just the back end of my car was in the no-stopping zone. But it was like not even there was no driveway, it was nothing. It was fine.
So what percentage of the car would you say was in the no-stopping zone?
I reckon like 25%.
25. I thought you were going to say a little 10. A little tiny bit. That's the whole fat ass of the car just blocking the back.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah, well, that is probably on 13, 10, 60. What's going to happen here? You call up with your ridiculous fines and then the court of like goodwill and street smarts, aka myself and the producers, will determine whether your fine was deserved or not. I got back in grade 12. This is in 2006. I got an $80 fine off eBay. Try to sell my V-plates on eBay. As a bit of a joke, but like, I mean, I was kind of serious. Like, I would have done it. To my dismay, 3 hours later, $80 fine, email, and my PayPal account was deducted $80 from the tennis racket that I just sold. That's a lot of money for a kid. Ridiculous fine.
I'd say that's pretty fair, though.
No.
No. eBay's got to have standards. You can't just be selling yourself on there.
No, you wouldn't do it if you're like a fully grown adult or a lady of the night. You wouldn't be doing that on eBay. I understand they put a stop to that. But this is the thing. You've got to just come to the site and say, hey, mate, you're just a little in the wrong here. I won't fine you this time, but just keep a heads up. Don't tow Santa behind without securing the load. Don't advertise your virginity on eBay. Don't be parking with 25% of your car out and it's ass hanging over the no stopping zone. These are things that you just let pass by. 13, 10, 60, ridiculous fines. We'll get them on the air next. We'll determine whether once and for all you were robbed.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lake.
Was your ridiculous fine on 13, 10, 60? Because fines aren't good at the best of times, but at least sometimes you can take a fine knowing that, yeah, you were in the wrong. You can rest easy when that's the case. Oh, big $300 fine. Ooh, well, yeah, I was. I did overstay my welcome in the parking spot. Oh, yeah. I was going 30Ks over the speed limit. I can accept these fines. What I can't accept is ridiculous fines. Talking about Santa Claus. And the man acting as a reindeer in his ute in a small country town. Town in ruins. Town in ruins after the great Christmas pageant of 2018 over the weekend. Soured by the news that the driver of Santa Claus was fined 3 demerit points and 301 Aussie dollars. Strictly because Santa Claus wasn't strapped in the back of his ute. It's a makeshift sleigh. They're going 10Ks an hour. That's the thing. Every now and then, someone who elicits such power is in a bad mood. Decides just for the hell of it. They may just exercise that power nevertheless. I got fined $80 back in 2006 for trying to sell my virginity on eBay. A slap on the wrist would have been fine. Don't just all of a sudden send me an email with $80 coming out of my PayPal account. Producer Jackie got busted the other day. 280 big smackaroonies. Just having 25% of his car dangling over into the no-stopping zone. Oh, they should make a quarter of the fine for that. Would you be happy with
that's
that?
That's what I think.
I think that's a nice little happy
all
compromise.
All four of my wheels were inside the allowed zone. I feel like that's fine.
If the wheels are in, maybe, yeah, you just write a little paper note saying, mate, next time, you know, you won't be so lucky. But this is just a warning. Got nothing wrong with a little first warning. Sneaky warning. Back in Newcastle, you had a ridiculous fine before?
Yeah, my partner did. He pulled over on the side of the road, non-residential, bushes in front of him, no one around, and thought he could pee on the side of his car and got fined $500.
Wow. I mean, we've all been guilty of having to take a little rest stop when there's no restroom around. Interesting to note here that you say he actually went on his tyre, because I have heard that in the past as well. Apparently, if it's in open fields, sprawling paddocks, it's illegal. But if you manage to get it on your front left wheel, it's all good. Is that what he was under the impression of as well?
I think so. The copper said to him if he had made the effort to just walk into the bush in front of him, he wouldn't have fined him. Yeah. So for all those blokes out there peeing by the side of your car, don't do it.
No, I'd say continue to do it and we can fight as one for the law.
Not guilty!
I don't think that's guilty. I don't think that's guilty at all. I think he's got him there on a technicality of public nudity. What you've really got to do is just stand down in public and wet yourself. No one's ever been fined for wetting themselves. I think the second the shorts are down, that's where it becomes a problem. Shouldn't, but it is. The law could be a fickle mistress, as your husband, I'm sure, would know. Tina in Orange.
Hey.
Ridiculous fine?
Yes, ridiculous. I was parked underneath the Coles car park here, and I didn't even realise that I didn't even, like, I was parked on line. Like, I wasn't outside the line, but my wheel was on the line, and I got a $110 fine. Right. Come back to it with a ticket on my window.
This is not good, and I think...
Not guilty.
Not guilty at all. If we go by the rules and stipulations in a tennis match, on the line's in. So I would say that on the line is in. I think you've got full on grounds. I think literally this isn't just a ridiculous fine. This is an incorrect fine. And I don't go throwing that around very often.
No. I just had to get one.
Yep. Thanks, Tina. Some grumpy old parking inspector in Orange. Adrian in Melbourne. Ridiculous fine.
Yeah, mate, I got pulled over after a car meet with a nail in my tyre, so I got done a defect for a flat tyre, a smelly tree on the mirror and the car being too low because the tyre was flat. And then they continued to give me a major defect and a $280 fine for an unsafe motor vehicle.
Oh, you're one of those people that once you get caught for one little skerrick and then the floodgates open. You see those on like the highway patrols all the time. Just some guy with a defect car in the wrong spot at the wrong time. Grumpy cop. Yep. Mixed with defect car. Not
definitely
good news.
Not a good, not a good mix.
Look, there may be some parts that were guilty there, but just for
not guilty
old time's sake, let's just throw a note, not guilty in there. That may help. May help. Chelsea and Melbourne, wrap this up. 13, 10, 60, ridiculous fines. My blood's boiling, seething, one may say.
Cool. So I was waiting for my Uber in a no standing zone in the city, and I got a fine for standing there.
No. No.
100%.
Is this April 1st? I'm getting some sort of hoodwinked April Fool's prank?
Not guilty.
Maybe.
That's insane. That is insane. No, it's not. You're having me on. You're pulling my leg.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, classic Stitcher. Get the sewing machine.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
This is a great headline. This really caught my eye. It said like it's right in my wheelhouse. Is this the world's worst first date? A woman says she was taken to a funeral on a first date. Oh, it's not sounding good so far. Bridget's date told her to wear a black dress for their first meeting, which she assumed was for reasons both mysterious and romantic. Everything seemed to be going according to plan when he picked her up. Then he pulled up to a crematorium. Bridget, hoping against all hope, wondered if he was just stopping for some petrol. But no, to Bridget's horror, Bridget's date was taking her to a funeral. Specifically his grandmother's funeral. He apologised and explained that he knew she'd rightfully never had come had she known where he was taking her and why. People are sobbing and I'm like, I can't leave. I'd be a massive bitch, she explained in her text that's since gone viral. Imagine calling an Uber to a funeral home. Bridget had no choice but to stay and wait it out. The man who just tricked her into a funeral home date cried and held her hand. She even met his mum. She was given the backstory on the ride home. Apparently, the guy had a girlfriend who left him several weeks before the funeral. Everyone had been looking forward to meeting her, so he just decided to find a stranger to stand in as his significant other. Bad boy. Bad boy. Don't trick a lady into going to the funeral with you. No matter how much your heart may weep and yearn for a lover's touch, it's not good. But I think first dates, bad first dates, is what we'll talk about on 13, 10, 60.
So did they rock up 2 hours late, or were they just simply overweight? Describe to us your bad first date. Dates gone wrong, dates gone wrong.
Yeah, the first date gone wrong on 13, 10, 60. Because you hear some horror stories, don't you? Not just online, but one of my great questions that I always like to ask on some of my Tinder and Bumble dates, I say to them, oh, so have you been on many dates? Have you ever had a disaster date? It's quite a nice, like, fifth or sixth question. If this date is running kind of stale, they've always got a story. I'd like to apologise on single females navigating the Bumble and Tinder jungle out there on behalf of my gender. It sounds like there's a few real bad eggs in the mix. All things from like just really like weird, touchy-feely, creepy guys 20 minutes in, to people who just had no banter, people who tried to get it to turn sexual straight after picking them up in their little Ford coupe, driving them to the local park and saying, how about it? I mean, you got to swoon a girl first. That's the thing. Like, I'd like to think that I've never had like an absolute dating disaster, but I think that's because I'm a male and usually chicks like who've agreed to go on a date, they're usually like half quid. And they're like, yeah, okay, well, you know, I'll put my best foot forward. I do apologize because I do rate my dating game quite highly, but I do apologize to a woman about 7 or 8 years ago now. And I've since learned my lesson that I can't do like leisure sports on a first date. Used to live in Surfers Paradise, took her to mini golf, played 18 holes, thought it'd be great, nice little icebreaker. Us just going around the little botanic garden course. I get too competitive. Not even with her. She sucked at mini golf. I'd be able to take her straight away. Too competitive with myself. I hereby apologise to that lady I dated 7 or 8 years ago. First date where I got way too caught up in the chase for par. But you live and you learn. That's what we're asking on 13, 10, 60. Bad first dates. Where did it all go wrong? From catfish stories to sexual disaster stories and everything in between. Awkward silence stories. That'd be a bit of fun as well. 13, 10, 60. Your bad first date stories. We'll get them on the air next.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey. Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
We're talking your first date bad stories going wrong.
So did they rock up 2 hours late, or were they just simply overweight? Describe to us your bad first date. Dates gone wrong, dates gone wrong.
Dates gone wrong, the first dates preferably. And that's the make or break usually, isn't it? It's the big kahuna. Is this the world's worst first date? Is the headline. Woman says she was taken to a funeral on the first date. Bridget's date told her to wear a black dress for their first meeting. You got to feel for Bridget in this situation. Probably having a bit of a swipe, chatting to guys, getting nowhere, a couple of dead ends, a couple of unsolicited penis pics. Then there's this one guy, the diamond in the rough, saying, hey, how about I pick you up Saturday? Ooh, okay, what did you have in mind? Just wear a black dress. Ooh, who says romance is dead? Getting all excited. What could it be? The mystery, the intrigue. Is this my Prince Charming? What does he have in mind? Some sort of spontaneous date? Nah, just going to the funeral. Sorry. Just really needed a plus one for me nan's funeral. You'd be heartbroken, wouldn't you? But struggling. I'm going through my archives trying to remember a disastrous first date. One sticks out for me, but I think that was just down to immaturity. It's 16, 17 years old. Me and this chick met up back in the MySpace days, agreed to meet at McDonald's. I was very nervous. I had a full list of notes on my phone of things to ask if the conversation went awry. She was not happy with the Lake Dog 5000. It was probably more of a Lake Dog 2000 back in those days. Very spotty, little pubescent boy. Had no banter, no nothing. I kept looking down at my phone, asking me questions. Ran out after about 15 minutes. We just agreed to call it quits there. I think I faked a phone call in the end. I mean, she was just as... She'd probably say the exact same thing. For me, second dates are the tough ones. Yeah, first dates, you can trim around the edges. If it gets all awkward, you just go, ooh, how many brothers and sisters do you have? Seen any good movies lately? If you could go to any destination, where would you be? Whereas the second date, you've got to have the chemistry there. There's nothing to fall back on then. You've used up all your ammunition. Bad first date stories. Melissa in Melbourne.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. What happened?
I spoke to this guy on Plenty of Fish for about 4 or 5 days.
Oh, yeah.
Just started to meet out for lunch, and we met away from the house, and I wondered why his car was packed. And I said, why is your car packed? And he goes, well, I thought things were going good. We can shift in together.
He wanted to move in with you on the first date.
Yeah.
So he's dropped you back at his at your place.
No, I left from where we met.
And so how does he figure out where you live?
He doesn't. He just bought his stuff and had his car packed.
No.
Hoping that, yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, how close was he? Like, I mean, there may be a Romeo out there for you that could swoon you that hard that you may move in after the first date. I'm not saying
that'd
you're easy.
Bloody good.
I'm not saying you're easy, but that'd have to be good. How far off the mark? Like, imagine, you know, comparatively, Brad Pitt, you know, single, out of the Hollywood Hills, into his little Holden Barina, packing up his stuff. You'd probably say, yeah, come on, Bradley, come under my wing. But where in comparison was this bloke?
Yeah, not even in close.
Not even close. Oh, dear. I mean, the kahuna's on this man. I wonder how many ladies he's tried this. He's literally on Plenty of Fish to find a home. Plenty of homes.
Exactly.
Goodness gracious, what a disaster. Needless to say, he didn't get a second date, huh?
No.
Yeah. One M. Night Shyamalan twist that would be. Well, you know, I'll give him another shot. And then turns out he was quite a straight shooter, and now we're married of 18 years. Thanks, Melissa. Cheers. Stephanie in Melbourne. You had a bad first date?
Yeah, the date was going really well.
Mm.
And then we went home. Ooh. I rolled over at night time to give him a hug. I woke up in a pile of something, and I said to him, what's going on here? And he said, I've had an accident. And I said, well, what kind of accident is this? And he just said, it's all right. And he grabbed a towel and he just put it on the bed and thought he was going to go back to sleep. And I was just out. I was out of there.
Well, what was it? What was the substance?
It was urine. He had an accident. He went to bed. I was disgusted.
Oh, well, I know. I was on tenterhooks there for a while.
I rolled into it to hug him, you know. And,
No. You've gone down in his yellow patch.
Oh, yeah.
The second fluid of the night by the sounds of it. Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey. Fantastic story coming out of China. Our good friends over there in the Chinese province of Sichuan. And China's bold mission to land a probe on the dark side of the moon. And we've all been to the light side of the moon. So it's the moon we can see. It's that side of the moon. Ever thought what's on the other side of that moon? A couple of people have. No one's ever been there. And I think, what was it, 1969, the first moon missions? Something along that. 1967, something like that. I think they sent a couple of more up. And they were like, well, screw this. I mean, there's nothing more to be had up on the light side of the moon. China's launched a groundbreaking mission to land a spacecraft on the largely unexplored far side of the moon. The moon's far side is also known as the dark side because it faces away from Earth and remains comparatively unknown, a different composition than sites on the near side where previous missions have landed, so they say. This is all fun and games. There's a dark side to the moon, of course. You don't think about it too often, but there is a dark side to the moon. Now, not many people have even sort of witnessed the dark side to a moon before. And if we could just change tact for a little second to one of my favourite moons, when you're to moon someone, the act of publicly exposing your bottom to some innocent bystanders, maybe at a party, maybe on a bus, maybe to passers-by on the highway. Some great mooning stories out there. And it would be far too easy, wouldn't it? Sort of say 131060, what's your best moon story? When did you moon someone real good? Because those stories will go on forever. Oh, yeah, successful mooning over the weekend? I bet you probably mooned someone this morning. You probably saw a great mooning over the weekend. I'm not talking about the successful moon stories on 131060. I do wonder, is there a dark side to mooning? Because I think deep down it's illegal to moon someone. Have you ever actually gotten trouble from mooning? Have you seen someone moon someone and it ended in tears? Maybe you got arrested for mooning, a big heavy fine. Is there a dark side to the moon? Because I may be the only person who's ever seen a dark side to the moon. Remember back in my uni days, the campus prankster thought that he'd pull one of his epic hijinks pranks and sort of like moon a couple of like sort of people who were thinking about living on campus. It's like an 18-year-old and they're walking around with their parents sort of examining the campus. Oh, yeah, this is a great spot to do your study, and we have a bit of fun on the side. It's very close to university. As you can see, we've got facilities here. And they were, like, doing the tour. And then campus prankster decided that he'd shout from his balcony, like, oi! And then he mooned them. The only thing was, we were about 2 metres away from the mooning. And for some reason, I don't know how, but he had like, a brown smear on his right cheek. And then for the rest of the year, he was known as, like, the man with the brown smear. And no longer was he the campus prankster. All of a sudden, he was, like, someone who was laughed upon. He went right down the bottom of the pecking order. I was privileged enough to see a man experience the dark side of the moon. But are there any other stories?
Is there really a dark side of the moon? Dark side of the moon.
Like I said before, we're not doing successful mooning stories on 131060. We're here all night and this commercial radio show has time constraints. Dark sides of mooning. When did the moon gone wrong? We'll get your calls on the air next.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
Our friends in China launching a mission to check out the dark side of the moon. Got us thinking.
Is there really a dark side of the moon? Dark side of the moon.
Chinese worry about landing a rocket on the dark side of the moon. Let this show worry about discussing the negative impacts of maybe pulling the classic prank of exposing your bare bum cheeks to innocent passers-by. Usually the moon's championed. Usually it's a fail-safe way to elicit a couple of laughs, isn't it? Usually, this party's a little dull at this point. Nothing's really happened off note at the barbecue so far. Go on, Jono. Go on. Moon Kev's missus, will ya? Hey, Jono! He's always down for a moon. And Jono will be champion for the rest of the night. Jono's sort of getting people, giving him beers. They're going to grab a snag from the barbecue. Jono's got head of the table status second he pulls the moon. For too long we've been championing in the moon. And I think in these times it's probably just important to acknowledge there is a negative side of the moon, albeit a very rare one. It would appear, due to the calls coming through, that 95% of moons are positive. But the moon does have a dark side too. Susan in Wingham, what's your dark side of the moon story? Susan.
Hello.
Susie. Susan.
Yeah.
Well.
That's a bit creepy.
Well, you didn't say hello, first of all. Then it leaves me in a weird little middle ground where I don't know if you've hung up.
I was waiting. I've been waiting for this story for years. I've been trying to hide it from the family for years.
Well, great. Now it's time to unleash it. Let's get into
it. Okay. So I was about 12 and I was in Girl Guide and there was a scout space where you could
roam the street. And Wingham's a very small town. So you had your Girl Guide uniform on. We was scouting the street. And me, Bindi and Kathy decided we would moon people. Right? And right. It's a small town, right?
Right.
So we were hiding in the bushes in our Girl Guide's uniform on a scout's base because you were sort of allowed to. And my parents must have known that we were on the scout's base, and I got kicked out of Girl Guide. That's pretty bad. And grounded for weeks and weeks and said I was a disgusting child. But I wasn't. I was just... It's just what you did. We were 12.
12. So,
That's
yeah.
What you do.
Well, what was this? 8 or 9 years ago?
It was quite a lot of years ago, and I've had to try and my parents bring up the story every 5 minutes. Mm. But I go, no, I don't know what they're talking about.
Were the repercussions as severe?
My sister was in Girl Guides. She was one of the, she thought she was better, and so she dobbed Dobber.
Oh. Mm. Thank you. Thank you, Susie. Matt in Sydney on 13 10 60. Woof.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Good. Matthew. That's not creepy, is it? It's just fun.
No, just a little bit.
Bit of banter.
a little bit of banter, mate. Can't go wrong.
What's the dark side of the moon story?
Mate, it was in year 12, catching the bus home from school. We're having a good time in the back seat, just mooning cars as they come by, you know, just getting it on film, doing as you do.
Mm.
Anyway, I end up coming home, and I got my grandparents sitting there with my parents, just giving me the look, shaking their head, and it turns out I was mooning my grandparents the whole way home. Yeah, they end up calling the school as well, and I got suspended for a week, so...
Suspended by your own family for pulling the bus time moon. Common hotspot, isn't it? Common hotspot. Most bums have touched that back window of the bus at some point or another.
It has.
The only place with more germs than a toilet seat is a mobile phone and that back window on the bus. Oh, good on you, Maddie. Yeah, there is a dark side of the moon, as we're learning. Carissa in Bendigo.
Hi, how you going?
Hey, very good, thank you. You sound like a mooner.
No, it actually wasn't me. I got married 10 years or so ago, and I'm divorced now. But I actually had a streaker run straight through my wedding reception with a roll of something lit on fire up his ass.
Oh, yes.
On the other side, there was a door he was aiming for. Turns out there was steps and railing, and he ran straight into the railing. Over the top, gravel rash from our soul to breakfast, naturally. And the boys decided they'd help him get cleaned up and pour aftershave all over him.
There's a dark side of the moon. He wasn't a wedding guest. He was just a rogue man.
No, he was part of the wedding guest. Right. He was actually my husband's best man, best mate.
Wake